My clients are the companies who need help writing software. I don't sell software to the end users, so our companies are not B2C. We are primarily B2B. When I talk to my contacts, my client contacts, they are CTOs, they are the product managers, they are the head of software development teams.
Welcome to the AI Advantage, where modern leaders decode the future of tech. I'm Solomon Williams, founder of Solenox. So here, it's no noise, no hype every week. Sometimes it's just me, and sometimes it's the brightest minds in tech, breaking down what it really takes to grow smarter with AI and automation. Let's dive in.
Welcome to the AI Advantage. I'm your host, Solomon Williams. We have a special guest with us today. We have it with Hermann Pons. He's the founder and CEO of DataSpeak. So Hermann, thank you so much for coming on to the show. Tell a little bit of audience of just about yourself and what, you know, what is DataSpeak?
So thanks for inviting me. As I said earlier, I was listening to some of your other podcasts and you have really good information about the AI. And I look forward to this conversation and dig a little bit into the AI and my experience. So basically, I have two companies, Mantra Technologies and DataSpeak. Mantra. I'm running and I founded and running both companies myself. On Mantra side, we work with the projects for the small and mid-sized companies in Southeast, primarily the small companies who don't have access to large-end consulting companies. We work with them. We work on the projects, primarily on the cloud, on the mobile, application maintenance, application rewrite. There are some still some projects we've been working on. The projects we are converting to cloud, which were be developed in late 90s, 25, 30 years ago. So that's the Mantra side. But I'm more excited on the DataSpeak, and which is what we want to talk about. The DataSpeak is a new company. I founded a couple of years ago. And as the name says, the mission of the DataSpeak is to make data speak. And it could speak trends, it could speak profit, it could speak opportunities, it could speak a lot of things. And the goal is to help companies make their data speak. So that's where we are doing a lot of things when it comes to the AI and the machine learning. I'm spending more time on DataSpeak than Mantra. And also many of our clients on the Mantra side for whom we did the projects over the past many years, we noticed that they have a lot of data on their servers or on the cloud, and not all the companies are using that data at all. So the idea of DataSpeak came from that observation. And some of our clients from the Mantra side, we are bringing them over on the DataSpeak side to make DataSpeak. So that's what DataSpeak does in a nutshell. And we are very excited about it.
Yeah, no, this is great. On the side, I'm really excited to kind of dive in on the data. You know what? I'm curious, Hermann, like what really inspired you to kind of bring forward to make, you know, DataSpeak forward? You know, I'm curious to see like what was the inspiration behind that?
That's a great question. See, I have been working in IT for a long time, almost since 1994, 95, when there was Visual Basic and Microsoft Access, and there was IBM, PS2, and all those machines. There is a lot of progress on the technology side. We came through the internet and the .com and then search and then the cloud and then the mobile and all those phases we went through. We are creating tremendous amount of data every day. And what I noticed working with many of the customers that they too have a lot of data, but they are not using it. Many of the applications for our customers were created for the sales, for the marketing, for the customer support, for finance, all kinds of different sectors. But those applications they wrote anywhere between last 5 years to 20 years. So probably sometime from 2000 to 2017, 2018, before the COVID, that's when a lot of development happened. And they collect data. All these applications, all these platforms, they create data, but they did not write those applications, or they did not create accept data in anticipating how they're going to use it. So the problem was there was data, but they are not using it. And I became increasingly aware while working on the project side that, hey, there is a data, they're not using it. Every new support request comes in, every time customer calls in, they start from zero. What if they could tap into the data? So that was the gap we noticed working on the projects. And then came the AI, the OpenAI. But even we've been working on machine learning even prior to that. AI is not new. AI has been around for decades, as a matter of fact. And if you know or if you read, then you will know that what they call is the nuclear winter for AI. There was a talk of AI in 80s and then the 90s. There was some talk of AI, even a movie on AI in 2000s. It didn't go further because there was not enough compute power, the strong computers and the strong processors, and there was not enough data at that time. And now we are at a point where we have both. We have data, a lot of data, and we also have a lot of processing power. So this is a great time for AI. What excites me more about this data is, imagine what it can do for the customers. Just possibilities are endless. And we are seeing that on some of the work we do at the data speak side. Even we are surprised with the quality of predictions and the trends we see when we apply certain tools. So that's what excited me. There was a gap. There was a data and no one was making any use of data. Along came the AI, and that's what excited me.
You know, that you kind of touched on, I'm really curious on this of, you know, everything is now on, you know, customers and so forth. There's so, especially in today's time of there's so much data going on. You hear it, like even in Atlanta now here, that they're building out a tremendous amount of infrastructure for data centers. You're having it. So, you know, through this time frame, as we're kind of going forward, of structured data, being able to understand unstructured data now with the capabilities of what the technology can do. Where do you see, like, what do you see now with customers that are struggling to, how would you suggest on how do they tap into and how DataSpeak can help, like, get those, understand the data, and then make actionable outcomes from it? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does, actually. It's a good question. And I get that question from my customers, too. So we all know, and when I say we all, that means as a customers, we all know that we have data in our company. And we also know that AI is out there. We use AI. We use OpenAI. I personally use Perplexity. So we know that we have data, which is input. And we also know that there is AI, which is a processing tool or processing power. And we know that if they both come together, we don't know how, but if they both come together, then it will be profitable, insightful for my team, my business, and it will be a good thing that can happen. So the problem is, how do I make that happen? I know I have data, but I don't know anything about how to make that profitable. So the problem is the data on the data side. If we are looking for a small company, let's say a couple of hundred people, there is 50, 60 people in support. I'm talking about a software company, small software company. About 50, 60 people in support, there is a maintenance, there is management, there is finance. They have these data silos. They have their own data. It could be a SharePoint, it could be a database or more than one databases. It could be just email, it could be Excel sheet. So they do have data, but that data is not unified. I mean, there are some tools out there that can help them, but they don't know about those tools and they haven't tried those. So what they have is the data, but that is not unified. That's not in one place. That's not cleaned. That's not organized. That could be used or fed to the AI tools. And they don't know, they are not as much technically aware. Some of their programmers or the in-house team knows things here and there, but not to the point where they can actually meaningfully apply those tools on that data. And then, so that is the one problem. The second thing is, if you talk to the company management, if you talk to the VP of software development, or if you talk to the VP of sales, if you talk to a CEO, they have different ideas. And it did happen at one of our client meeting. I was telling them that, guys, do you have customer support data? That data you are collecting since 1998. and 27 years, and every single request comes in, you treat that as a new. Let's make use of that 27 years of data. Let's apply some machine learning and let's equip your support staff with a possible resolution just at the time when the problem comes in. Yeah, that's good. That's a great idea. But really, we would like to use AI for our development team. We would like to more focus on the giving AI to our developers so they can speed up their development. And the third person I was talking to in that company, so one was, I was saying, let's make use of support data. Another person is saying, let's do something for our developers. And the third person was saying, I just want to minimize the expenses. I want something that can tell me where we can save money. Is it the cloud cost? Is it the HR cost? Can we justify travel expenses? So his idea of AI was different. So where do the company start? I think one of the CEO of the major bank said it right. Just go and write the use cases. If anyone is listening to this and those you have a business, you have different teams in your company, the best thing would be to just write down all the use cases, just one or two lines or maybe a paragraph that where you think AI will help you and your teams. And then collect all those use cases. Maybe there will be 40, 50, 60 use cases. See the cost benefit, which will give you maximum cost benefit, which will give you competitive advantage as a company over your competitors. And then you can prioritize those use cases. Once you put the priority on the use cases, now it's your business that is driving the AI for your business. It's not other way around. You are not adopting AI just because it is out there. Everyone is doing it. I want to come across as a smart CEO or a CTO. Oh, yeah, we are doing AI. No, it's your business who is now driving the AI usage. And that's the best thing. So we see many businesses are going that way. And that's what, with the data speak, that's what we do consulting on the AI consulting. And we help businesses that, hey, guys, you know a lot of things. You have a lot of data. Let's go from here to where you want to go. And your path could be different than your competitor. Your path could be different from some other company. So what we will do is we will understand your priorities. We will look at all the use cases. And then we will help you prioritize those use cases so that you start your AI journey with the right foot.
And I love that, Masad, because you really look into today's time of, I think we even spoke about this earlier, just all of, there's a lot of hype and a lot of marketing with AI, what it can do. And I feel like, there's one side of the camp that it can do it all, and the other side is going to take all these jobs. And I like how you said it, that you're not really focusing more on the technology part or the systems. You're really focusing on what are the outcomes that data speak, and just for yourself as the, what can we utilize the technology for as an addition, as a helper, not as the end all be all for the system to do everything for it. So I love that, on that side and reinforcing that to, your customers and your clients. Herman, with you, like you've built, two companies, serving for your partners and your businesses. Like, what have you learned just about your partners just through the small, mid-size, or on the businesses side? How do you see on, what have you learned on how they adopt the technology? And like, what are the ways that you've learned on mm-hmm. how they should implement it, and just over time, how they've grown with it?
That's a great question. And, I see the difference between my users, my clients are the companies who need help writing software. I don't sell software to the end users. So our companies are not B2C. We are primarily B2B. When I talk to my client contacts, they are CTOs, they are the product managers, they are the head of software development teams. And the difference I have noticed that something changed after the smartphones, and something changed after everyone started using these beautiful apps, we all of us on the smartphones. Before that, it was a lot simple. Before that, the adoption rate of the new technology was much slower. For example, I remember in 2000 working with a client whose end client was running COBOL on DEC. I mean, now we don't hear the deck. It was thing of 90s or 80s. And that company in 2002, it was a law firm, and they had some data and tools applications running on a COBOL. It took them a while to convince that leave that behind, and we have written a new software that does exact same thing and more, and it runs on the cloud. It was in 99-2000 when Salesforce came, and they didn't come up with the term SaaS. They came up with the term no software. That became eventually SaaS. So the adoption to the new technology was slower. Now it is a lot faster. I mean, with the search, that is the Google accelerated that. After that, the social, the cloud took it even further. And we all are familiar with the sleek applications we use, and it does for us. I mean, the mobile has made us kind of impatient. We want everything now. We want everything right away. And that has reflected into the decision makers and the technology adopters in the companies, even the people I talk to. And they are under pressure too, because their CEOs and their CTOs are demanding more. So everyone's in the race. Everyone is adopting new technologies fast. There was a gap. There was a delay between when the technology comes in and when everyone. But now it is super fast. As a consultant, as a data speak and mentor technologies, that makes our job a bit more challenging, because then we have to keep up before client knows about new technology. Our consultants, our team need to keep up with that. And then now the new thing is that we use repositories like GitHub and the DevOps, and they have the AI tools that they suggest we can use. But some clients, most of the clients, don't want us to use AI for coding and programming. Only about 2%, 3% clients are okay using AI. But that's the new thing about when we are talking about the adoption. It's not just the technology advances, but the AI advances are coming faster too. So the rate of how fast we as a users and our clients, as a users, as a consumers, and as developers themselves, how fast they were adopting to the new technologies, that rate has increased quite a bit. And if anything, the introduction of AI has made everyone a desire to go a lot faster. And right. I see everyone is just impatient. They want everything now, right now.
Yeah. And you know, with that, because of the impatience, and, you know, especially with yourself, of having, when you're working with, you know, retainers, with clients, and with, you're doing more on client acquisition and bringing forward and keeping up to date, like, what are you seeing on big shifts now? Are you seeing with the small to medium businesses on how they are adopting? As you said, there's only 2%. They don't want the AI to really do the engineering because of compliance, maybe security and everything else on this side. How do you kind of go about in bringing forward the clients forward and helping them to understand and helping them to bring forward what DataSpeak is doing? And then, you know, to that effect, after you've talked to them, what are you seeing, you know, just from your experience on how they should and how they are adopting AI and data today?
So like everyone says, AI is a permanent change. It's not going away. It is as definitive as the .com. When the .com happened, there were some doubts here and there. Why would I give my credit card information to Amazon? I can just go to Barnes & Noble and buy the book. I can even touch the book. But no one, I mean, I don't know. We all are now on Amazon pretty much. We buy everything. So there is a comfort factor. It took some people 5 months to get comfortable giving personal information. It took some people 5 years to get, but now we are at the point where everyone is comfortable. What about the business side? Now, AI is here. People have used AI. There is no one that I know of that hasn't used some kind of AI. It could be an open AI or something. So we all know what it can do. I know some people who have used it in their personal life, the AI. So how do we go from here? And how does DataSpeak tell clients? So it is, then, as I said, they know the power of AI, and they know that they can make a lot of things. But that makes them, that makes our clients a little hesitant, because if they could go in any direction of AI, So they can apply AI in any of their company verticals, sales, marketing, finance, development, just support. Where should they apply? And that's where the hesitance come, that they don't know exactly the best way to start AI journey. Most of the times, it is the CEO's job to make company AI smarter. That's what I hear from CEOs. We want our company to be AI smarter. We don't want our competition to do things that we can do or we should do. We want to do those things first. But they don't do it. It often goes to CTO or somebody on the technical side. And then the question is, he has or she has pressure from CEO to show something on there. Where do we start? And that's where typically we come in. Some of the clients on the Mentra side, we interact. We talk to them about the data speak. We talk to them about AI during our monthly and weekly meetings. And they ask questions, what should I do? Where shall I begin? Once they have the use cases, and what they want is they want some quick win, is what we call that. Hey, your CEO wants to see AI. You want to see AI. You don't want to take too much time and money to work on a big project because things change, technology change, new models will come. Let's identify two or three small projects which we can call quick win. And once we implement those, your organization looks at that, they give feedback, you come across as a winner, the AI is adopted in your company, so everyone wins in that front, and then we can start doing deeper. So the advice is, and that's what I tell our clients to, start small. I mean, you can think big. We have to think big. There is no limit. Yes, theoretically, there is no limit. But let's start small. Let's do something that will take probably 2 weeks, or that will take no longer than a month, because there are powerful tools. You have a lot of data. It shouldn't take more than a month to come up with something that will make people within your company, whoa, or aha, that's great. That looks really promising. And we'll go from there. And companies like that, the people that we talk to, CTOs, product managers, they like that. I think it is the right approach. It is very pragmatic to start small. Think big, start small, start with what you have with minimum investments. You don't want to bring in too much technology on day one. You don't want to bring complexity on day one. Something small that starts, everyone sees it, and go from there.
Yeah, and I really like that aspect, because of even as an entrepreneur, even anyone, even in the C-suite side coming in to an enterprise, or for someone coming through as the CEO or founder, you get so caught up in making these big change, these innovations and so forth. And you get so, you know, what are we doing? Is it really moving the needle? And I really like on how you're saying on quick wins, you know, really looking at this perspective and really let's break down this tech speak, because you can go real deep down into the rabbit hole. Let's take a high level approach. What can we do as an impact? And for you, just as a consultative for the business, what can we do in the next month or next two sprints? If we're thinking of it agile, can we do to make a small impact, and then we can build from that? And I love that piece of it, of what you're mentioning.
I can give an example if you want.
Yeah, go ahead.
So we were working with a local company. It's a chemical company, and we wrote a custom CRM for them, for their sales staff. And they primarily do the lawn fertilizer, chemical processing, and they service quite a few golf courses and lawns in Southeast. And one part of their CRM is the forecasting. What happens is towards the end of the year, before the end of the year, all this, we as a development team, we open up the next financial year for them. And then their sales staff goes in and they start entering their ICP numbers, the forecasting. We provide them the information from the previous year, what was the actual, what was the forecasted. And based on that, they start adding the numbers. And we said, this could be a good place where we can apply some machine learning and some LLMs. And why don't we automate the forecasting? It won't take much. It will be probably 2 or 3 weeks work. But if we do that, then we just don't open the new year, financial year for your sales team. but they have the forecasting ready based on their last 5-6 years of forecasting. So we suggest them the numbers. There are some levers that we can add. Management wants 3% or 5% more revenue. There are some levers we have added into that forecasting tool. But now what happens is we just don't open the financial year for them, and they don't have to enter it manually. We open the financial year and we give them the forecasting, which is based on management's advice. It is higher than the previous year because that's how the business grows. And we give them reasoning why for this customer, as per the AI, we think the revenue for next year could be and should be higher. We give them the reasoning for that. They love it, the sales staff. It is in the beta. It hasn't gone to the production. It will go to the production in the next couple of months. But initially, when we showed it to them, we saved them about roughly 60 to 70 hours of work. Typically, during the December holidays, all their sales staff of about 45 people used to do the forecasting. They used to spend about 60, 70 hours during the holiday. Those hours are gone. Those hours are saved. They can spend that time with the family during the holidays, which is what everyone would like. And we did that automation. So how much time they spend? Probably 4 or 5 hours going through each customer, tweaking the numbers here and there, tweaking the ICPs, and they have forecasting. So we couldn't have done this. Now we applied the LLM and a lot of other things and a lot of new technology and tools. But this was a quick win for us, for the customer, for the sales staff. It took about 3 weeks to develop that. Management liked it, sales staff likes it. So it was a quick win for everyone. And this is the kind of approach that I would suggest before going deeper in, on the deeper end to apply something big. This is the kind of thing that means quick win. And I think anyone listening to the podcast, thinking about applying AI, maybe something like a small project they can come up with, and they can start their AI journey that way.
That's, you know, and I'm curious on the side of you thinking of how to, exactly as you said, you automated the dashboard. What, you know, for someone coming in and like knowing what to ask, like, so when you went through that, was it during discovery that you found out? Was that the initial approach to like, how can we automate it? Or did it just come through just with speaking with the client? The reason why I asked this is because of, when someone's coming through, whether as a consultant, let's just say for cloud or for, you know, you're building out, you know, automation for a client, or same as what you're doing, how do I make something more efficient with the financials? How do you break down to know, like, during the conversation to, oh, that's another thing that we can go into as a consultant? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Absolutely. And I will tell you how it started. When we started working with this customer, they were working with the Excel spreadsheets. And I was talking to the decision maker, and he showed me all the Excel spreadsheets where they do the forecasting, ICP, and all that information, and how he has customized those Excel sheets for each of the sales team person. And I said, you don't want to do Excel sheet. Why don't we move this to the cloud? And that was about 2 years ago. Let's move it to the cloud. Let's keep it really simple. They all have logins, so we'll make that part of the cloud application. And they liked it. He said, great. Yeah, how long will it take? And all, we went through that. So from the Excel sheet, we moved it to the cloud. But that was still manual. It was not automated at that time. And what happened is, and this could be a good suggestion to your listeners, that since I started DataSpeak, whenever I work on the projects on the Mantra side, I ask the same question: how can I apply machine learning? How can I apply AI for this particular task or for this particular screen that I'm looking at in the application? How can I automate this? And it's a constant conversation. So if any one of your listeners are using Excel sheet, they can ask question that how can they apply machine learning or AI? How can they automate that? So in this customer's case, it went to the cloud. We went from Excel sheet, we took it to the cloud. And then how did it move to the AI? So the conversation, we were talking about different things during our one of the monthly discussion. And I said, how is the forecasting going? Did they like it? Yeah, they all liked it. How much time do you spend? I mean, a typical salesperson, how much time? Because they opened their financial year on the 1st of December. I said, how much time they spend? on the forecasting. Oh, I don't know. Maybe when I was a salesperson, I used to spend 60, 70 hours roughly. I had so many customers going through every single customer, every single month, every single ICP profile. You know, it takes time. So I said, why don't we do this? We will go back. We have a data for last 9-10 years of forecasting. We will learn from that data for each customer and each salesperson, and we will give them the forecasting. They click on a button and that's their forecasting. And probably we can achieve that in about 3 weeks' time. We can go into the beta mode after 3 weeks. What do you think? And they liked it. There was some minimum investment on the programming side, but we already knew their database. We already knew their application. There was a familiar foundation that was already in place, which we leveraged for them. They made small investments, and that's how we went to automation or the AI automation. And most of the customers, most of the listeners, they can do the same thing. You don't have to take the giant steps. You can take the small steps. Just look around. What is it that you are doing year after year in the same way on Excel sheet? And if you can, or maybe name or list 5 things that you don't want, you don't like to do as a part of your job. What are the 5 tasks you'll be happy if you don't have to do on a daily or weekly basis or monthly basis? And those could be the good things to see where they could apply AI.
Yeah, I'm really interested because even just with myself, it's working with our clients, you know, it's so important that I'm realizing that, you know, because you get so caught up, even just with my background with cloud architecture and everything, you know, you get so caught up into the tech speak. And I liked how you come across with your monthly of just on, you just thought of asking, how are your finances, really asking discovery questions, just to be curious on how the customers are. And you'll be surprised, even from my side, and, you know, when I'm implementing AI for our customers on growing or scaling or whichever, you know, what the outcome they're looking for, you'd be really surprised on just asking certain, you know, discovery questions on what is it that you're doing here? And sometimes the client will like, they'll give you the answer. Sometimes they haven't thought that deep of it because of that. And you're walking them through. And I love that what you kind of brought up on something completely different. So
that's right. You know, what I noticed is when I look at my client's project and requirements, and I come up with some ideas about how they could benefit with the AI, and when I go and suggest my ideas, what they come up with, what will help their business or how AI could be beneficial to their business is entirely different than what I think of. And what matters is what they think, not necessarily what I think. I can give them 10 different ideas, but they know their business way more than I do. And if they think, yeah, these 10 ideas you gave us are good, but really, if we can implement these two ideas, I think that's what we want. And it's a good discussion. So it's like seeing the elephant, and everyone sees the elephant different way. That's how, and it's magical when we talk to our clients. And I go like, whoa, that's great. I mean, I was thinking entirely different. But looks like you already know what you want. And let's start there. Let's see if we can implement that. Another thing we do is a learning, actually. So anytime I come across a podcast, or it could be an article, I do share that with the clients. There are some do's and don'ts. You don't want to share that with all the clients, you know, which clients and which clients not. You can make that decision. When I come across the books on the AI and the future trends, that could be a good, I send those as a gift to many of my client contacts. They like it. And that also gives me a starting point to talk to when I see them next. Hey, what do you like from that book? How do you think, which of those ideas from that book you think are applicable to your business? The end goal is not necessarily to get business from the end customers. That's not entirely the end goal. The end goal is to foster the discussion, discuss the ideas, and come up with something. If that something comes our way where we can help our customers, great. But even if it doesn't, I learned something in that process, and that makes me grow. So it's a collaborative approach. That's what we follow. And I love to go out and talk to clients.
Yeah, I love on the side. It's really, you're coming across of it as, and this is what I try to foster in my own, is you're really coming across not as a selling of the services, but really being a partner for the client. And as you said before, when you send over, obviously you kind of take in, you know, based off of each client is different. But I love on your aspect of you're not thinking of it as a way to add in as an add-on to the service. You're really, you're being genuine. And how can I partner with this, with my partner, with my client, and helping them get to the next level, or thinking of what are the outcomes they're looking to have for their next year, and how you can help apply that, you know? And I really love that aspect of it. It's not coming from a sales and on the side of like, how can I add more, but how can I provide more value? You know,
it's very important. Yes. In this day and age, when the technology has evolved so much, even in the business and the business doings, the old things that work and didn't work are kind of irrelevant. The business is evolving too. And it has to be more collaborative approach. Those yes. old days of cold calling and the emails marketing, those days are kind of behind. Anyone can do that. Customers love open. They ask me, what are your other customers doing? What are they listening to? What are they talking about? What are they excited about? And without disclosing any IP or product information, it's a good dialogue, actually. So, yeah, I enjoy that. That's the best part of my work, to talk to the customers.
Yeah, I love it. It's the key part is, and I always think of it, is that the business is built on the speed of trust. That's what it is. Regardless of technology, as you said, there's multiple different, you know, other competitors that use the same systems and everything. But what is it about David? What is it about Hermant that really makes it to where I trust him? He really involved. He's really caring about me as a client, as a partner. And that is what takes you off compared to your other competitors. So, you know, I really love that. So, Hermant, I'm curious as to like, what have you seen now that's really working well with DataSpeak now? Because that's the focus point. That's part one. And then the other part two is like, where are the bottlenecks that you're looking to eliminate as you're continuing to scale?
So what is working is the one thing is that companies are more aware and they are more comfortable thinking of AI initiatives. So if I would have talked to some manager, product manager 4 years ago that, hey, let's apply AI or let's do some machine learning, there were no LLMs. I mean, there were LLMs. Google came out with the LLM many years ago before OpenAI came with the ChatGPT, but it was not in the mainstream. Not many companies, not many people were aware. It was more for the technologists, and OpenAI changed that. But 4 years ago, if I would have contacted, hey, you have a lot of data, let's apply some machine learning and let's try to make some sense, probably it would have, I would have come across as nerd who is just wants to get to or do something in the machine learning. It didn't make much business sense, and that product manager wouldn't have got money or the approval to do something like that. That is changed. Now, what we see different is everyone wants to talk about AI. Everyone wants to make their company, their team, their department, their product, or themselves AI smarter. They, when you ask them, hey, tell me something, do you use AI for the personal, do you use Perplexity, or is there anything interesting that you found with AI that you couldn't have probably 5 years ago? And sometimes they tell me interesting stories. I have a couple of stories myself too that I couldn't have done it without Perplexity. Or I don't Google these days, for example. So there is a comfort factor with AI as a business, as a person. And there is a willingness to invest in technology to test the waters of AI. That's the change we see on the customer side. And that's very welcoming for the consultants, for the companies, that businesses are willing to, I wouldn't say take on, but businesses are willing to try different initiatives with AI. That's kind of door opening for DataSpeak. That's a good thing. The challenge, if you look at one of the challenges, is there are actually two. The data is always a challenge, and that's exciting challenge. What I mean is, many of these applications were written 15, 20 years ago, and they didn't think of AI. None of us thought about AI and how it will come, OpenAI and all those things back in 2000. So the data is collected, yes, but that data is not really necessarily in the good format that can be fed to AI as is. And there is a lot of data cleaning and data organization and data management, basically kind of dirty work before people see the bright side on the AI side. And we have seen that the depending on the company culture and the size and the technology culture that they had for the past 10, 20 years, it could be really challenging, the data. It could be on totally different environments, platforms, technologies, and to bring all that data together, clean it, organize it in a proper format that could be fed. That's the one challenge. And the second challenge, other than data, it's always the same challenge, and that is the people. One of the things I love about my work is I get to work with the smart people. But also the thing is that with the increasing scope and with the scaling up, that's another challenge. But we add new people, and we want to make sure they all understand not just the technology, but the culture, the team. Why do we work? What do we do? And why do we do? And one of the challenges as we scale up and as we grow is to instill that culture into the newcomers and make them aligned with not our priorities, but what our clients' priorities are. That's the challenge. So the welcoming thing, the good thing is businesses are more open and willing on the AI side. And the challenge, one was always there, data. And the second is also, it was also there, people. So with those two challenges, I'm still excited because the opportunity is huge and the door is opening more and more. So that's a good thing. And I think these challenges are manageable for any businesses, not just data speak. And I think these are the same challenges for any company, any business, not just data speak. But that's what we work at.
Yeah. And I love that. It can kind of, you know, as wrapping up, because I can hear maybe on the side, like what do you see in like for data speak and just for yourself, Hamant, like what do you in the next 6 to 12 months, where would you like to see the next milestone for data speak or just for yourself as the leader, CEO, as you're continuing to evolve and move through this journey?
The one milestone is currently, if you look at the clients we have on the Mentra side, where we do the projects and the maintenance work, we have about, I would say, about 15% of those clients we have engaged with them to use AI and machine learning on the data speak side, but not 100%. We are talking to many of our other clients. They are aware of what we do and what AI does, and we are capable of tapping on some of those possibilities from the technology point of view, as long as it makes sense from their business point of view. So we are talking to them, but we haven't had much success rate so far in the past year and a half to bring majority of our clients on the data speak side. Year from now, we would like to see larger adoption and openness from our customers to use some of our initiatives on data speak side for their businesses on the AI and machine learning. That is the number one milestone. So if we are talking year from now, and if you ask me, tell me why your year was so successful, I would say I will be happy to say if I can get about 80%, if we can get about 80% of our customers on the project side move to AI side, that will be the one milestone. Second milestone is we are working on a stealth product about on the machine learning and AI. It's in a very primary stage. And the challenge is things are going so fast in the world of AI. Just as the technology accelerates, the rate of innovation accelerates too. And a month is too late, actually, these days. So another milestone, I see the launch of that product. And how about 25 to 30 customers on a business side for that product? So those are the two milestones, which is what I'm currently focused at.
I love that. I love on the side. So, you know, as we kind of go through on this, Hamant, like where can, you know, and being conscious of where can people really learn more just about your journey, Hamant, like on the data speak side of where they can, you know, go and understand more. And then the second part is to anyone listening to the podcast, what is the number one problem that of coming to data speak for any B2B, they should come to data speak for you today and how you can alleviate that problem for them?
Sure, yeah. So how can they know more about what we do? There is a website, and perhaps we could add those into your notes, in the podcast notes. It's dataspeak.co, and on the Mantra side, it is mantrasys.com. Those are the two websites where they can get more information. I'm very active on LinkedIn, and they can find me on LinkedIn as well. I'm actually a lot more. That's the only social media tool I have on my phone. I don't have WhatsApp or Facebook, but LinkedIn is on all the time. So the best way to get in touch with me is through LinkedIn. If any of the business owners are listening to this podcast and they want to try, why should they talk to DataSpeak? Simple question. If you have a lot of data, or if number two is, if you are doing the same tasks repetitively, daily, weekly, monthly, it's not just the automation of the task, but making those tasks automated and smarter is where DataSpeak comes in. So if you have a data, and if you are not using that data, it doesn't matter what format is. It could be you are just taking in some forms in some clinic. Every day, patient walks in, they fill out the form, and you just file it. That could be your data. Or you are collecting tons of data on a mobile app that you have developed, which is millions of users are using that app, and there is something called data exhaust. And if you are collecting the data exhaust from the mobile app, you could be on that end. So it doesn't matter on the scale of data where you are as a business owner or as a business, but you can come to DataSpeak to make sense of that data. We have good tools, we have good ideas, and we can ask smart questions with you, and we will make your data speak.
Yeah. And thank you, Hamad, for coming onto the show. It was such a insightful side. And even just on your leadership style, I think people can just follow you on LinkedIn, just from your experience and just from what you've said on the discovery, thinking of others, of like bringing those articles or podcasts for your partners to help alleviate. I think that's such a critical leadership skill to provide as a consultant and just for a business owner on that side. So love having you. For everyone, thank you for taking the time to listen to the entire show. If you had, I look forward to you on the next episode of the AI Advantage. Take care.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for tuning in to the AI Advantage. If this episode sparked an idea, share it with your network. Subscribe for more no fluff conversations on how smart tech drives real outcomes. And if you're ready to future-proof your business, let's connect at salonox.net.